Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
To continue talking about growth today, the growth chart. And we've covered grace, we've covered repentance, we've covered offering, we've covered worship. Now today we get to cover the T. But before we get into that, I want to talk about this, because anything that is healthy grows. Okay? So if you're seeing growth in your life, that is a good sign of realizing that I am healthy. If I am moving towards who God has called me to be, because anything that is healthy grows. And I want to continue to remind you of this small thing before we get into the word, to chart your growth. This series is not called the growth series, it's called the growth chart series. And it is important to chart your growth. Here's what I mean by that. I'm not much of a journaler, okay? I don't normally just sit down. How many of y'all keep a journal, okay? All right, that's very few people. That's good, though. That's good. But I'm not much of a journal. I don't sit down, you know, and just process my emotions and feelings with pen and paper and just sit there and write it down and write it down or type it out. But the other day, I made it a point to sit down after my prayer time and write what God is speaking to me in this season and what God is doing in my life and what He's doing in me as a person, what He's doing in me as a leader, what He's doing in me as a husband, what He's doing in me as a father, because I want to be able to look back in a couple months, in a couple years, and I want to be able to read that and realize, wow, that's what God was doing. I've seen Him move so much more. I've grown even since then. So it's important that you chart and you keep record of how you're growing. Because, and I shared this one time on a Wednesday night, well, the reason that we should chart it is because when you chart something, you're keeping record of it. And so when the enemy comes at you, and he's the accuser of the brethren, so he's going to try to accuse you and say, you're a sinner, you're lousy, you're no good, you can't do this, you can't do that. You can say, oh, no, that's where you're wrong, devil, because I have record right here of when God set me free. I have a reminder that I used to be this, but now I am that. I used to be a slave to sin, but now I'm free because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we need to chart our growth. And so we need to take account and record what God is doing in our life. And you know, really, if you think about it, that's why we have the Bible. Because some people named Moses, some people named David, some people named Peter, some people named Paul, some people named Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the writers of the Bible, and there are many more than that, somewhere they recorded what took place in their life. That's why we have the Bible, because they set down the gospel according to Matthew, the gospel according to Mark, the gospel according to Luke, the gospel according to John. It was because they set down and they recorded what had taken place, what they had seen. So one translation says, what we have seen with our own eyes. What they had lived through and seen, they took record of it. So chart your growth. This series is not charting your growth for you, okay? It's giving you the inspiration. It's giving you the direction and the guidance, but we need to chart our growth. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and hold it up today. We're going to declare today, I am what His Word says I am. I can do what His Word says I can do. I can be who His Word says I can be. So today, I'll be taught the Word of God. I'll receive the Word of God so I can obey the Word of God, because I love the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The T in our growth chart stands for the word training. Okay, we're going to talk about training for a little bit today. We've talked about grace. We've talked about repentance. We've talked about offering. We've talked about worship. Now we're going to talk about training. Now, training sounds a little bit boring, doesn't it? It doesn't sound as exciting as something like grace or worship. It sounds like training. That doesn't sound exciting. But when you understand what comes out of training, you'll get excited about it. When you realize that once I'm trained, that means that I'm prepared, that means that I'm equipped, that means that I'm ready to face whatever it is that comes at me in life, you'll realize that you can't skip the training, because you'll never get to the end result of who God called you to be unless you are first trained. You wouldn't want a doctor to operate on you that didn't go to medical school. Come on, somebody. You wouldn't want to be laying on the table and they're about to cut you open. He goes, anybody know the first step? Anybody know where I start? Should I wash my hands? Should I, you know, you want somebody, if they're, you're going to trust them to do perform surgery on you, you better hope that they've been through med school. You're not going to take your car to somebody that's never worked as a mechanic, right? You want to go to somebody that's been trained, that's been equipped. And in the same way in our life, there are things that God has for you to do. He has a purpose. He has a plan for your life. There is something that you can't even imagine. It is so big. It is so great, but it's going to take training to get there. You see, God called David to be king when he was still a young boy in a shepherd's field. Scholars believe he was somewhere between 14 and 15 years old when Samuel showed up at his daddy's door ready to anoint the next king. And he thought that his oldest brother was the perfect king. But then they bring David in, he anoints him as oil, and it's somewhere between 15 and 17 more years before David ever becomes the king of Israel. Why? Because God anointed him, God called him, God chose him, but there was some training that needed to take place in David's life so that when he got to the throne, he would do everything that God had called him to do, he would be everything that God had called him to be, and he would be the leader, and he would be the shepherd that the people of Israel needed. And so sometimes we're so focused on the throne, right? David had the promise of the throne, but he had to go through 15 to 17 years of brokenness, of being chased, of being hunted, of being ridiculed, of being treated like an outlaw. But in those moments, he was being trained by God. He was being fashioned. He was being formed. He was being made into the man that God had called him to be. Amen. Are y'all awake this morning? Good night. I feel like I'm the only person that's had coffee this morning. Y'all need to wake up a little bit. Think about this, okay? About in regards to training. You couldn't read unless somebody took the time to train you how to read, okay? You would be completely illiterate. Training isn't always exciting. It seems boring, but think about this. Olympic athletes must endure hours and hours of training in the weight room, on the track, in the pool, you know, on the tumbling mat, whatever sport it is, whatever they're doing, they have got to spend hour upon hour. Every minute matters. They even time it down to, I'm going to go to sleep at this time, and I'm going to wake up at this time so that I can train again, so that I can get ready again, so that I can be in the weight room, so that I can be in the pool. They go through hours and hours and hours of training. They put their body through countless moments of pain and suffering so that one day, for a few moments, they could have the chance to stand on a podium and receive a medallion of bronze, silver, or gold around their neck. Think about that. Some people, now you got like Michael Phelps, right? He's awesome. He just competes all the time. Some people only make it to one Olympics. Some people only run one event in the Olympics, and they will dedicate their life for that one moment. Training. Getting ready, getting prepared. I think the Olympics are great. I think competing for your country is great. But think about this. Your spiritual life is worth training for. If they will dedicate every waking and every sleeping moment to becoming an Olympian, shouldn't we dedicate ourselves to being people that are godly, people that are kind, people that are full of the Spirit, people that are ready to be everything that God has called us to be? I want to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. You can turn there with me in the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, as we talk about training today. I believe that there's a message in this that we need to latch on to and we need to learn from so that we can be who God's called us to be. 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 8. If you don't have your Bible today, I believe we have it on the screen so that you can follow along with us. And it says this, Paul is speaking to Timothy, who's a young pastor. So he's giving instruction. Paul is basically training Timothy on how to be a pastor. He's training him how to be a man of God, okay? And he says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that is now and that which is to come. Now, that word exercise in the Greek means training, okay? That's what it means. So let's read it in the NLT. In the NLT, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 reads this way, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better. Physical training is good. It's great. It's great to be in shape. It's great to have goals. It's great to, you know, exercise. It's great to go to the gym. But it's even better to train for godliness. You know why? Because it says God, training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. If you want benefits in this life and you want benefits in heaven that are stored up for you, we need to be trained in godliness, okay? When was the last time that you thought about getting in shape spiritually? I think about getting in shape physically every single day. Think about it and then it's gone. Think about it and then it's gone, right? But when was the last time that you thought, I need to train myself spiritually? I need to get in shape spiritually. I need to make sure that I am becoming everything that I'm called to be, because there are benefits that I'm missing out. You know, the book of Psalms says that God daily loads us with his benefits. But here's the thing. When you load somebody with something that they aren't equipped to carry, they're going to drop it. So how many of the benefits that God has for us in our life are we not able to carry because we're not training in godliness? Because in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, it says it promises benefits in this life and in to come when we will train, allow ourselves to be trained in godliness. We need to train our mind to think on things that are above and not on things of this earth. And so the book of Colossians says, set your mind on things that are above. And that is a training ground. Your mind, it's referred to a lot of times as a battleground, but it's also a training ground, because before you go to battle, you need to be trained. Any soldier, anybody that joins the military, they need to be trained before they are released into battle. And your mind is a battleground, so you need to be trained in your mind how to cast down those thoughts and say, I am not that. I am a child of God. I am not going to succumb to that temptation, to the enemy, but I'm going to walk in God's goodness. I'm going to walk in his truth. I'm going to set my mind on things that are above and not on things of this earth. You need to train your heart to be moved with compassion. That when you see somebody that's in need, that you don't think, well, maybe somebody else should do something about it, but you respond and say, maybe I should do something about it. You need to train your soul to rest. Some people have a hard time with this, you know, but your soul needs rest. David said, you restore my soul. You lead me beside quiet waters. Your soul needs rest, because if you don't have rest, you'll eventually burn out. You'll eventually give up. So there's nothing wrong with training your body in athletics, or training your mind to be better naturally. But there's only so much that physical training can do for you. Paul even said, physical training, it profits a little bit. It's profitable. It'll do something for you. But how much better is spiritual training? So what if we put actual effort into being trained for godliness? Because Paul promised benefits in this life and benefits in the life to come for those who are trained in godliness. Now, let me ask you, who doesn't like benefits? We all like benefits. Everybody likes benefits, right? Especially benefits that come from God. And here's what training does, okay? It releases you into new levels of freedom. But when you refuse to be trained, when you refuse to be taught and instructed and equipped, you are held back from who God has called you to be. But when you receive training, you're released into new freedom. You're released into new knowledge. One thing I tell my children all the time is, don't be a know-it-all. You know why? Because number one, nobody likes a know-it-all. And number two, you'll never know it all if you think you know it all. You've got to receive, and when you receive training, you can grow in knowledge. When you receive training, you can grow in opportunities, opportunities to come to those who are trained. Because listen, nobody's going to hire me to build a rocket to go to the moon. You know why? Because I haven't been trained to build a rocket to go to the moon. But if I got trained, I would then have opportunity to step into that job or that position. And maybe you've been holding yourself back. Maybe you need to go back to school. Maybe you need to take up a new hobby. You need to hone a new craft, because there are opportunities that are out there. There are benefits in this life and in the one to come that you aren't walking in, you aren't tapping into, because you haven't been trained. You keep thinking, I'm too old to go back to school. I'm too old to learn a new trade. I'm too old to do this. I've missed my window of opportunity. No, you haven't. There are opportunities that God wants to release you into, but you just need to receive training. You need to receive instruction and guidance. Sometimes we feel like we're held back or we're not able to do our best, but what we don't see is that we're actually holding ourselves back. Nobody else is holding you back from your potential but you. Maybe you've used the excuse for years. My mom and dad, they held me back. Well, you can't use that excuse anymore. The only person that's holding you back from your full potential is you. Because God said everything that you need that pertains to life and to godliness has already been given you by his divine power. You have every single thing that you need. Paul told the Corinthian church, listen, he said, you are not restricted by us. He said, you're restricted by your own affections. In other words, he's saying to them, listen, people, I'm not holding you back. You're holding yourself back. Because your desire for this is greater than your desire to train in godliness, to be trained and equipped and prepared and made ready. That word restricted means to be made narrow, to strain, or to compress. He's saying you are making your way narrow. You are straining yourself. You are compressing yourself. You are holding yourself back because of your own affections. Because you're not being trained in righteousness. So sometimes we compress ourselves. Sometimes we hold ourselves back simply because we don't want to be trained in godliness. You know why? Because something inside of us, this little thing called pride, or maybe it's a big thing called pride, I don't know. But pride makes us think that we don't need somebody else to train us or lead us spiritually. But every person, I may be a pastor, but I still need to be trained in righteousness. I may be a leader, but I still need to grow. If I want to grow, I need to be trained. I need to be instructed. I need to be led. I need to be taught. And you're the same way. And there's something inside of us, and it's really spiritual pride that says, I don't need to be trained. Yes, you do. You need to be taught. You need to be instructed. You need to be fed. You need godly counsel. You need godly wisdom. You need the word of God continually poured inside of you if you want to be released into the opportunities that God has for you. Because Paul also said this. He said, you have many teachers, but you don't have many fathers. He said, you have many instructors, but you don't have many fathers. What he was saying is, you're getting a lot of information, but you're not getting much revelation. You have people that are standing up and they're feeding you information. They're instructing you in this, instructing you in that, but they're not empowering you to be who you have called to be. And you need somebody that will train you, because when you train somebody, you don't just tell them what to do. You show them what to do. You don't just tell them how to do something. You let them do it and you instruct them as they walk through it. So there's a lot of people that want to impress you, but you need to be focused on finding people that will empower you to be who you've been called to be. But you know, there's a difference between training and discipline. And I want to talk about that for a second, because sometimes I think that we think training and discipline are the same thing, but they're not. They're actually two different things. And this will actually help you in your parenting. I'm going to talk to the parents for just a moment. I try my best to not talk too much about parenting, and I'm going to be completely honest and tell you why. Because when I talk about parenting, my children get put in a fishbowl, okay? And then every time they make a mistake, well, he must not be doing what he told us to do from the pulpit, okay? So I'm going to go ahead and tell you, my children aren't perfect. They may be more perfect than your children, but they're not perfect. I'm just kidding. And in your eyes, your children are more perfect than my children. I get it. Everybody's got favorites with their children. But the reason I don't talk about parenting a ton is because I believe that I want to protect my children and watch out for them and not put them in a fishbowl. I grew up in a pastor's home, and I understand everybody's looking at the pastor's kids. What are they doing? What are they not doing? But I do want to talk about parenting for a moment when it comes to training, because there's a difference between training your children and disciplining your children. And I want you to parallel this with God, because God trains us and disciplines us, not just one or the other. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If you will take time to not just discipline your children, but train your children. I want to talk a little bit about the difference between this, because training is when you take a moment and teach your child what to do, how to do it, and why you do it. Okay? When your child does something wrong for the first time, they need training, not discipline. Then once you train them in that moment, hey, listen, we don't throw our cup across the room. Well, the first time they threw their cup across the room, they didn't know that. The first time that they, you know, did this or did that, they didn't know it. So you don't discipline for ignorance, but once you train them, you take a moment, you say, hey, we don't do that because it's not nice, because it's not okay, because it's not respectful. So we need to train them. When you train them, what you're doing is you're giving them the opportunity to now choose between right and choose between wrong. You explain to them, if you do this again, there will be consequences. You train them up and you tell them why we should be kind, why we should obey. So I want to encourage you to do this week, parents. Create training moments with your children, not just discipline moments. Discipline is you reacting to their behavior. Training is you being proactive and creating them to have good behavior. So sit them down and say, I want you to sit still for 10 minutes and don't move. And teach them how to do that. And don't be surprised, if you're not doing that at home, don't be surprised if when you go somewhere they don't sit still. We're working on this with our children. Sit down and sit still. Don't move until I tell you you can move, right? Train them up in the way that they should go so when they're old they won't depart from them. Create training scenarios within your home. And here's why you do this. I have heard this old story of these two dads that they were hanging out in the yard. They were grilling out. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm about ready for summertime and just grilling out, being outside. Doesn't get dark till almost 9 o'clock. And just the cicadas are singing. And I'm just, you know, you're just having a good time. I'm ready for summertime. Well, these two dads, this will help you get more in that mindset. These two dads, they're grilling out. Their sons are out playing in the backyard. They're kicking a little ball around. And all of a sudden, the two dads look at the boys standing under this tree, and dad one says to boy one, son, get down on your stomach immediately. And the boy gets down on his stomach and he lays down. The second one realizes the alarming voice that the dad one had, and he sees the tree and he realizes what's going on. He says, son, get on your ground immediately. And the son goes, why? Dad, we're playing. I don't want to get on the ground. I don't want to do that. And without knowing it, a snake from the branch above him reaches down and wraps itself around the boy and begins to squeeze the life out of him. Okay, now, what's the difference? One boy trusted his dad and got on the ground, didn't ask questions because he'd been trained. Whatever dad says, I do it. Why? Because his dad cares for him. Not because his dad wanted to ruin his game. Not because his dad didn't care about him, but because his dad did care about him. Boy two goes, why? Why, dad, why? And you may not think that it's a big deal for your children to talk back to you. But when you're trying to tell them don't run out into traffic, or you're trying to tell them get down on your belly because there's a snake above your head, or you're trying to tell them, you know, don't go talk to strangers, and they're going, why can't I do that? In a split second, it's too late and your child is gone. You will wish that you had trained your child to be obedient. And I know that's extreme. You're going to be put in a situation, you're multiple situations with your children that are dangerous, and you need your child to listen to you in that moment. So it's not just to show them who's boss. It's to watch out for them. It's to protect them. So training, we train our children because we love them. Now, discipline. Discipline is what we do when training is not adhered to. Okay? So Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24 says, he who spares the rod hates his children, but he who loves his child disciplines him. And this is the kicker, promptly. Okay? Promptly. That means when your child disobeys your training, you need to discipline them and discipline them quickly. Why? Because children have short attention spans. And if you don't discipline them, and whatever your form of discipline is, you need to figure that out. But this says, he who spares the rod spoils the child. So if you don't want to have a spoiled child, you should adhere to the word of God. But it says discipline's improperly. Here's why. If my child disobeys and I don't discipline them in a timely manner, they will forget what they're being disciplined for, and they will feel as if they're being abused. Because you remember that an hour ago they didn't listen to you, but they don't remember. They've lived four lifetimes in an hour. Things have changed so much. And they're like, why is mom and dad hitting me? Why are mom and dad taking my toys away? Why are mom? Because they're not computing that. He who loves his child disciplines him promptly and teaches him promptly. So learn in your life and in your walk with God, in your life with others, that training and discipline are two different things, okay? And I know I talked a lot about parenting, but it applies to our life with God too. God will give us opportunities to be trained. And when we don't adhere to that training, he loves us, so he chastens us. He disciplines us, amen? But training is so valuable. And you know, really, training is one of the main facets of the church. It really is, and it should be. When you come to church, yes, you come to work to church to fellowship with other people. I love it. I love our fellowship time. I love standing in the back, standing out in the lobby, drinking a cup of coffee, talking with people. Fellowship is beautiful. It's valuable. It's a main part of what we do here. Worship is huge. That's why we have a band. That's why we sing. That's why we got words on the screen, is to help everybody enter into a time of worship. And serving is great. Getting involved in the nursery, you know, serving in other aspects of the church, the children, the greeters, whatever it may be. But really, the church also exists to train you up and your God-given abilities to become the man or woman that you've created to be. It's not just a social club. It's not just somewhere to hang out. It's not just somewhere to hear a band play some music. It's a place to come to get trained and equipped to be everything that God has called you to be. So I want to encourage you to adopt this mindset. I'm going to church to be trained. I am going to church to be trained. Just like a new army recruit would go to boot camp to get trained so that he can fulfill his duties as a soldier, you're coming here to be equipped to be the best version of you that you can possibly be. Okay? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, okay? You can flip there with me in your Bible. We'll give you time to get there for those of you that are slow. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. It reads as this: "And he himself," speaking of the Lord, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." Okay, that's what we call the fivefold ministry. There are five offices, five responsibilities that God has given to the church. But here's why he gave those positions to the church in verse 12. "For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." That word equipping means preparing or training. For the equipping, for the preparing, for the training of the saints, for the working of the ministry. Our goal when you come to church on Sunday mornings, on our Wednesday nights, is getting you ready to be the best spouse that you can be, to be the best parent that you can be, to be the best neighbor that you can be, to be the best coworker that you can be, the best teacher, the best mechanic, the best stay-at-home mom, the best retiree that you can possibly be. When you come to church not just to see people, not just to be seen, not just to fulfill a religious opportunity, but you come to be trained. Look at this space and time on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. Every time you go to the house of ground, God, I'm going to be trained. I'm going to be equipped. I'm going to be made ready. I'm going to get filled up. I'm going to get a new mindset. I'm going to lay down old things and pick up new things from God. So God gave fivefold ministers to equip and train you for the call of God that's on your life. So when you come to church, don't just go through the motions. I think too many people come to church and it's Sunday morning. This is what I do. It's part of my schedule. It's part of my life. We're going to sing a couple songs. I'm going to listen to him. He may get a little fired up today. He may not. He may say something funny. He may not. Oh, that was a cool quote. Oh, that was a good scripture. I've never thought of it that way before. Don't just go through the motions. Come to church ready to be equipped. You can be equipped talking with somebody in the back. You can be equipped through listening to the Word of God. But you need to not just go through the motions, but set your heart in the right place so that you can be prepared for the life that he wants you to live. I want you to leave here on Sundays and Wednesdays ready to face whatever comes at you tomorrow morning, whatever comes at you Tuesday. It's getting you ready. It's getting you prepared, because if you're not prepared, you're what? You're caught off guard. John Wooden said, if you wait until an opportunity comes to prepare yourself, you've already missed the opportunity. You need to get prepared. What we're doing on Sunday mornings is equipping you and preparing you. I'm trying to get you ready so that tomorrow afternoon, when somebody yells at you, when somebody drops a ball, that you don't lash out in anger at them, that you don't respond out of frustration, but you're equipped with peace. You're equipped with joy. You're equipped with the Holy Spirit. You're equipped with the Word of God. You have been trained so that you know how to respond to every single situation. You should come to church on Sunday morning like an empty bucket. Just saying, fill me up, God. Whatever you've got for me today, I want it. I want your goodness. I want your peace. I want your correction. I want your training. I want your discipline. I want your instruction. Whatever you have for me, I'm an empty bucket, God. Fill me up. I want to be your vessel. I want to be clean. I want to be empty so that I can receive whatever it is that you have for me. Fill me up till I'm overflowing. You know, David prayed that. He said, my cup overflows. It reminds me of an old gospel song I heard years ago. This guy said, my cup's overflowing and my saucers are getting full. That's where we need to, that's how we should leave church every single Sunday, every single Wednesday. That's how we should leave our quiet time every single morning, every time that we spend time with God. Our cup is overflowing, so much so. You know why God filled David's cup to overflow? Two reasons I'm going to give you. One, he's a God of more than enough. It's just in his nature. He doesn't just drop a little bit. The Bible says he gives his spirit without measure, meaning he doesn't hold it back. When he fed the 5,000, there was baskets, 12 baskets left over. When he fed the 4,000, there were 7 baskets left over. When the widow went to Elisha and she sold the oil to pay her debt, there was enough money, not just to pay the debt, but for them to live on for the rest of their life. He is a God of more than enough. So he fills us to overflow, one, just because that's who he is, but two, for others. He fills you up to overflow so that you can give to other people that are around you. That's why he wants to bless you financially. It's so that you can sow into mission projects, so that you can sow into your neighbors, so that you can give, so that you can help other people. He wants you to be so full of joy that when that naggy coworker comes in tomorrow morning and they can't wait to tell you about how bad their weekend was, right? Everybody's got that person in their life that every time you see them, it's about what went wrong, what didn't happen, how bad it is. Oh, you just wouldn't believe what happened to my son this week, or what happened to me, or what happened on the way here, or this or that. When they come in tomorrow morning, instead of getting frustrated with them, instead of getting mad at them, instead of lashing out in your mind or outside at them, you can say, "Not today, Satan. You're not going to steal my joy. You're not going to drag me down into the depths of despair with you, because misery loves company. I'll tell you what, you hang around miserable people, you're going to be miserable," right? There's an old saying that says, hang around 4 millionaires and you'll be the fifth. Well, I like to say it this way: hang around 4 misery loving people and you'll be the fifth. Hang around 4 joyful people and you'll be the fifth. Hang around 4 happy people, 4 blessed people, 4 generous people. Whatever it is, who you hang out with matters. And y'all want to tell your teenagers that. Y'all need to pick your friends better. And y'all are hanging out with gossips and negative people and hateful people and unkind people, all the while telling your children y'all don't need to hang out with them, because they're going to get you to smoke the dope or they're going to get you to drink. But listen, I'm telling you, we face the same problems as we go throughout life, but sometimes we think we outgrow problems. You don't outgrow problems. You get to where you mature so that the problem doesn't overcome you, but you overcome the problem. And that's why we need to be trained. You don't need to stop getting trained just because you get better. In fact, if you look at it professionally, whether it's music, business, sports, the better you get, the more you train. Okay, right? Tiger Woods. Y'all know I'm a big golf fan. Tiger Woods, when he was in his heyday from the year 2000 to the year 2008, he was at the driving range at 5 a.m. every morning. He was up at 4 a.m. every morning. You would think that I'm the best in the world. Nobody will ever beat the amount of weeks that he was number one in the official world golf ranking. No one will. They've done math. They said nobody can ever do it. It just won't happen. But here's the thing. He didn't stop training just because he'd reached his prime. He didn't stop getting better. He didn't stop grinding. He didn't stop growing. And sometimes we think, oh, I'm an adult, or oh, I'm a Christian, or oh, I've done this, or oh, I've done that. No, we need to realize that the better we get, the more training it requires. Every level that you go, education, first grade is harder than kindergarten. Second grade is harder than first grade. Well, why is it that when we graduate, we stop learning and we stop growing? We should get better and better and better, okay? And the reason that God fills us to overflow is so that we can share that training, share that growth with other people. But you can't give what you don't have. So if you don't have joy, you can't give joy to the naggy coworker. If you don't have peace, you can't give peace to that neighbor that just lost a spouse or just went through a difficult situation, right? So today, I'm going to ask you, do you want to be trained? Do you want to be equipped? Do you want to grow deeper? So let's define, what does it mean to be trained? The word train means teach a person a particular skill or type of behavior through practice and instruction over a period of time. Training doesn't happen in 30 minutes. Training doesn't happen in 1 hour. That's why it's important, and I know you can get mad at me if you want. That's why it's important that you come to church every single week. Because you're every single week, you're training, you're growing, you're getting better. As you're coming with an empty, open heart and just saying, "Here I am, God, fill me up, whatever that you want." Because training, I can't train you in 45 minutes on Sunday morning, right? You have to take it and put that instruction into practice throughout the week And you have to apply it to your life, and then you need to continue to come back. Just like you couldn't get an education going to school, you know, one day out of the week. We go to school. You know, when you're in school, you go 5 days a week, and then there's homework, and there's assignments, and there's things that you do, because training and growth, it takes time. Here's some synonyms to the word train: instruct, teach, coach, tutor, educate, upskill, edify, and prime. I love that word prime. Do you realize that when you're training, you're getting primed to take off? You're getting primed, and you're getting set up, and you're getting prepared. It's like I told my wife this morning, babe, I'm about to have to cut the grass, and that just gets me excited. Any other guy in here, you're ready to mow your grass? I am so ready to jump on my mower and start mowing that grass. I can't wait. But what I'm not excited to do is crank up my weed eater. I'm not excited about weed eating. I'm ready to mow, but I am not ready to weed eat. I'm about ready to pay my brother to come up there once a week and weed eat my yard, because I just hate weed eating that much. It's awful. But you know what I have to do before I start my weed eater up? I have to prime it, right? There's that little button. I have to prime it and get that gas and oil mix running through there. And what I'm trying to do on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights is prime your pump to get started and get propelled into action to be who it is that God has called you to be. The second definition of the word train means to aim or to point something. If you were to use this in a sentence, like using a gun, you would say the detective trained his gun on the door. So when I am training you, or when you're getting some other specific kind of training, it is pointing you in the right direction. It is aiming you on the path that God has for you. That's what Jesus did with his disciples while he was on the earth. He showed them how to live a godly life. He showed them, he instructed them, he taught them, he coached them, he tutored them, he upskilled them, he pointed them in the right direction. And in your life, you're going to have parents, grandparents, coaches, teachers, mentors, pastors, and friends who are going to do their best to point you in the right direction, to aim you, to say, all right, here we go. Look, this is the direction that you need to go. You ever gotten directions from a good old country boy before, right? And he'll say, what you need to do is go right down this road here. He doesn't use road names, never uses road names. You ever notice that? You ask a country person, they're not going to say, take Glen Boulevard and then turn left on County Road 43. They're going to say, go down this way just a little bit, turn left at the Dollar General, then you're going to turn right. There's an old country store. Well, that one closed down. Harold used to own that store. And he had the best, coldest Coke you've ever had in your life. And I'd put peanuts in it. And it was good. Anyway, it's got a blue roof. You turn right there. And then you'll see a guy's got some chickens on the left. He fights them, but don't tell nobody. And he fights them. You turn left right there. And then go, I don't know, maybe a mile down the road. And you'll see it on your right. And you're just like, thanks. Appreciate that. I'll never get there now. I'm more confused than before I asked you, right? But what he's trying to do is aim you in the right direction, because if you don't start in the right direction, you'll never get there, right? You got to start in the right direction. But here's the thing. You've got all those people in your life, pastors, friends, teachers, mentors, that are trying to point you in the right direction, but you still need to put one foot in front of the other and walk it out. You can get all the training in the world, but if you don't put it into action, it won't do you any good. You could have all the knowledge in the world, but if you don't use it, what good is it to you, right? Let's go to Psalm chapter 144. Psalm 144, this is a psalm of David. And he says in chapter 144 in verse 1, praise be to the Lord, or blessed be. That word blessed means praise be also. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is my steadfast love and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I take refuge, he who subdues people under me. I'm a firm believer that God is a God that fights your battles, but I also believe that he's a God who trains us to fight battles as well. Because that's what David said. He trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. And we sing all the time, you know, you fight my battles, God fights my battles. He does. But Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. He didn't say God is wrestling. He's saying you and I, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against the rulers, authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So there are going to be some wars that you're going to have to fight, but God is going to train you how to fight them. He's not just going to say, go get them, tiger, and slap you and get you out there. He's going to train you. He's going to equip you. So we don't wrestle in the physical, but there are things that you're going to have to war through in the spirit, in your mind, in your emotions, in your marriage, in your workplace. But thankfully, we have a God who trains us in our hands for battle, in our fingers for war, but he won't leave you on your own. Okay? And I want to explain this to you because there are times in the Old Testament when God simply said to the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Meaning, you don't have to do anything. I will do it all. But there were other times when he said that they needed to go and wage war against the enemy. So God is a God that fights your battles, but he's also a God that will allow you to fight with him. And he trained you to do so. So according to Judges chapter 3, there's a list of nations that the Lord purposefully left in the promised land for the Israelites to fight. And this is what it says in Judges chapter 3, to test all the Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars of Canaan. He purposefully left them there. He did it on purpose. He said, there are people in the promised land that I'm going to leave because you guys have never learned how to fight. And so I'm going to leave them so that I can test you, so that I can train you, so that I can teach you how to fight. He could have wiped them all off the face of the earth with one flick of the wrist. You guys are gone. Be done with you. But he didn't. He left them for the Israelites. Why? Because he wanted to test them. God doesn't tempt us, but God does test them. What is a test? Test is a component of training. When you train somebody, you test them to make sure that they are retaining what you are instructing them with. So God left battles for the younger Israelites to fight so that they wouldn't become weak, so they wouldn't become entitled. He wanted them for their hands and their fingers to be trained for battle and trained for war. So here's what I love about God. He doesn't send you into battle unprepared. He doesn't send you empty-handed. There are times when God is going to fight your battle. Sometimes you don't even know that he's doing it. He's going to declare, he's going to say, stand still. I've got this. But there's times he's going to say, come on, let's go fight them together. And he's going to call you into battle. And that's why David could say, you trained my hands and my fingers, meaning I'm ready. I am prepared. No matter what comes my way, I am trained and I am ready for it. You know, God equips you with everything that you need in order to be victorious. Before God sent David or allowed David to go and fight Goliath, he sent a lion, he sent a bear. Why? To train him how to fight. He didn't want him facing the, because David had that confidence to say, I killed a lion, I killed a bear, this uncircumcised Philistine, he isn't going to be anything because God had already trained David and prepared him, his fingers and his hands made ready for war. So there are things that you're going to have to fight in your life, in your marriage, in your walk with God, but he will train you how to do it and he will be there right there with you along. He's not saying you go get it, you do it on your own. He's training you so that you can fight with him, so that you can overcome, so that you can have that sense of I've been trained, I've been prepared, I am ready. I can overcome the next battle because I've overcome this battle. Amen? Let's close with this. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and we're going to read verses 11 and 12 again. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Here's one of the most important reasons that God wanted us to be trained, so that we can train others, so that you can train your children, so that you can train your coworkers, so that you can train your friends and your family, meaning what you have received or what you have been taught, go teach and go give it to somebody else. Don't hold it back. Don't let it go to waste. We need to pass the word of God and the training of godly living and righteousness and what it means to be a Christian and what it means to be godly to our children and to our children's children. You are responsible to train your children what it means to be a godly person. Listen, coming to church, I've been saying this for weeks now. This is a supplement, not a substitute. Okay? What your children learn in class about God is a supplement to what you should already be teaching them at home. But it's not a substitute. We need to be training other people. I love what Gustav Mahler, the Austrian composer, said. He said, tradition is not worship of the ashes, but preservation of the fire. Okay? That sounds really smart, but really what it means is tradition isn't just looking back on what was. It's about feeding the fire so that we continue to be what we're supposed to be. We continue, that we pass down our traditions. It's so sad to see cultures just die out, or to see a family name just die out because there was nobody to continue it, to pass down to the next generation. We are responsible to train the next generation, okay? Listen, that's why working in the nursery is such a big blessing. You're not just watching snotty-nosed children. You're training them to be who God has called them to be. Listen, when you are training your own children, don't let the TV train them. Don't let the TV raise them. Don't let the iPad raise them. Don't let the world, don't let school raise them. Pass down values that make you who you are. Your children will not become who you are just because they live in your house. You have to be intentional to train them. Teach them to pray. Teach them to be respectful. Teach them to look people in the eye and shake their hand with a firm handshake when they meet them. Teach them how to have manners at the dinner table. Teach them the value of a hard day's work. Teach them how to love the Lord with all their heart, their soul, their mind, and their strength. And teach them how to love their neighbor, even as they love themselves. Listen, hearing it will not produce doing it. We've got to train them. And one of the ways that you train is leading by example, by them seeing you do it. By them seeing you in the Word of God, you praying, you being kind to others, you being generous. Lord knows that children aren't going to learn those things on YouTube and Instagram and TikTok, okay? We've got to teach it to them. We must keep feeding the fire, or one day we'll find ourselves worshiping the ashes. Oh man, it was nice when people in America were respectful. Well, the way that America is going to be respectful once again is if we teach our children how to be respectful. You have the responsibility to train up the next generation, but you can't train if you're not being trained. So here's what you do. You never stop growing yourself. Never feel like you're comfortable with where you are. Never become content to say, well, I guess I've reached a good spot in my life. I'm a good person. No, never drift through life. Be intentional to be trained. Be intentional to learn. Be intentional to grow. And be intentional to help other people grow in their walk with the Lord as well. Amen? Stand to your feet with me today. I hope that you are seeing, I feel like I say this every week, but I hope you're seeing growth in your life. I hope you're seeing yourself, grow closer and closer to who God has called you to be. I want to thank you today for your attendance and for being attentive and listening to the Word of God. And I really want to encourage you next week when you come to church, Wednesday when you come to church, in the coming weeks, anytime you go to hear the Word of God preached or taught, or you go to a service, go with the intent of, I want to grow. I want to be fed. I want to be trained. I'm coming not just to hear, not just to listen, but I'm coming to grow. Amen. I want to remind you tonight that Well Scottsboro has a night of worship at 6 p.m. that you're invited to, and we would love to see you be a part of that. That again begins at 6 p.m. in Scottsboro at the Well in Scottsboro. And I know they'd love you to come and be a part of that. But if you would just, everyone bow your head and close your eyes with me today. What I want you to do is I want you to search your heart. Because inside of each and every one of us, like I said earlier, there's always the need to be trained. We should never stop longing to grow or to get better or to push forward to the excellence that God has called us to live in. So if you're saying, hey, I want to submit my life to God and I want to be trained, I want to be equipped so that I can do the work of the ministry that He's called me to, so that I can edify the church. I want to play a part. I want to be who I'm supposed to be. I want to make a difference in other people's lives. If you're saying, hey, I submit my life to be trained, would you just lift your hand today? I want to pray with you. God, I pray for those whose hands are lifted. I pray that as they submit themselves to you, God, I thank you that you are going to release new levels of freedom, new levels of opportunity, new levels of depth of knowledge over their life. You're going to bless bless them in ways that they could never possibly even think or ever even imagine. And Lord, I pray that we would receive the training and we wouldn't put aside the hard work and the discipline that it takes to be godly people. God, as your word says in 1 Timothy 4:8, bodily exercise profits little, but godliness, training in righteousness, godly training, it profits and benefits not only in this life, but it promises benefits in the life to come. So God, we ask that you would train us, God, through your word, through prayer, through sermons, through fellowship times, through meetings. God, train us and equip us to be who you have called us to be. We love you and we honor you today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. With everybody looking around, if you would like to give your heart to the Lord, we do it this way. I ask everybody to look around because Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. We give an opportunity for people to get saved because it's something to be excited about, not something to be scared about. You're getting saved from hell and into a family, into heaven. So it's something to be excited about, something to be celebrated. So if you're here today and you want to recommit or commit your life to Christ, would you just lift your hand? I want to pray with you today. Is there anybody here that you'd like to get saved or you'd like to recommit your life to the Lord? Praise the Lord. Well, I hope that means that everybody's serving the Lord, loving the Lord. You're on the straight and narrow, and you are fulfilling God's call and gifts for your life. Amen. Would you just receive this blessing today? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. And may you be trained in godliness, trained in righteousness, so that you can fulfill the ministry that he has prepared for you. And you can edify the church, and you can grow up to the measure of the fullness of the stature of the perfect man, Jesus Christ, who is all of our model. In Jesus' name, amen.